From the Emory Wheel, I'm Gabriella Lewis. This is Wheel Talk. For over 2 years, the United States has been consumed with a presidential election set to be held on November 3rd. After competitive primaries, countless debates, and a deadly pandemic, the election has finally come and gone. And while an influx of early and absentee voting delayed the counting of ballots in a myriad of swing states, news outlets announced on November 7th that former Vice President Joe Biden won the election. And while the state has not yet been called, Biden maintains a few thousand vote lead over President Donald Trump in Georgia. But what's next for America and the world? I speak with news editor Anjali Hun about what Emory experts and community members have to say. Hi, Anjali.
Hey, Gabriella.
You've been covering the election incredibly closely. Can you give me a bit of a rundown of what's happened in the past week since Election Day, and specifically also what's happened in Georgia?
So obviously Election Day was last Tuesday, and we did not get a call for the race until Saturday morning, when most major news outlets called the election for former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris. It's been a really long week, full of lawsuits, lots of people claiming victory for various candidates. But at the time that we're recording this, Joe Biden has won the popular vote by over 4 million. He's received more votes than any other candidate in history. So Georgia has not yet been projected by a number of outlets. It is currently going for Joe Biden, with his lead increasing by the hour. If Biden wins the state, this would be the first time that a Democratic presidential candidate was selected since 1992. As of election night, Trump had a pretty sizable lead, but as days went on, more absentee ballots were counted. Ballots in counties like Fulton and DeKalb, which are very overwhelmingly Democratic, were counted. And now the margin is just a little over 10,000 votes. And so the Secretary of State in Georgia has said that Georgia will be going to a recount.
Can you explain why Georgia went blue? As you said, it's kind of surprising to many.
Beginning in 2018, with the gubernatorial race between current Governor Brian Kemp and challenger on the Democratic side, Stacey Abrams. And following Abrams' loss, she established this group called Fair Fight, which their goal was to improve voter registration in the state, reduce voter suppression. The Young Democrats of Emory's Vice President Ed Nyonas talked a lot about Abrams and her grassroots mobilization.
After we saw what happened in 2018 with the Abrams-Kemp gubernatorial election, Stacey Abrams did not want that to happen ever again with the rampant voter suppression that was happening throughout the state of Georgia. So many people's voices were going unheard that she really took it upon herself, and so did other grassroots organizers that were working on activating the vote in Georgia, particularly the Black vote in Georgia. I think that's why we're seeing these numbers, and that's why we're seeing that Georgia went blue this morning, is because Stacey Abrams herself and Fair Fight activated so many voters.
So another large factor that definitely helped Democrats in the state was Biden's appeal to white voters. And I spoke with Associate Professor of Political Science Bernard Fraga about this.
He was able to appeal to white men to a degree that was, you know, somewhat more successful than Hillary Clinton in 2016. Not quite as successful perhaps as Obama was in 2008 and 2012. Again, that speaks to the changing nature of the Democratic and Republican coalitions.
And in addition to that, you know, Atlanta and Georgia writ large have seen a lot of diversification over the past few years. The growing share of voters of color in the electorate has absolutely played a role in Georgia's gradual shift left as well.
How are Emory community members reacting to the news, and what do they think it means for the future of this country?
Foremost on a lot of students' minds is climate change. And as Emory College senior Carlos Monteagudo Ortiz told me earlier this week,
why I think this election was so important, a lot of it has to do with like climate change and climate activism. And I think Biden is someone who's more willing to listen to a scientific consensus that this is a problem.
So something else that Emory community members, faculty and students alike are feeling is division. You know, this country has become increasingly polarized. And on top of that, it looks as though the Senate, should the Georgia special elections not go well, according to the Dems, will remain red while the House stays blue. And of course, with Joe Biden as president, that means there will be a split federal government. There's also a lot of divisions within each party. So, for example, the Democratic Party is seeing this split between those who are more progressive, you know, the AOC wing of the party, and those who are more moderate, who want to keep the status quo that existed during the Obama administration. Emory's own Alban W. Barkley, professor of political science, Alan Abramowitz, talked a lot about this. And I spoke with senior lecturer of sociologist Tracy Scott about this earlier this week.
There's this huge divide between big metropolitan areas, which are increasingly Democratic, including the suburbs, and then exurbs and rural. Rural small town Georgia and the exurbs, I mean, the far further removed parts of metro Atlanta. Very Republican. And that divide was very evident. Both these are racial divide in part, but it's also a cultural divide. It's gotten to the point where the people on the opposing sides of the divide don't want to have anything to do with each other.
He's coming into an atmosphere that is very divided, and he's going to have to try and appeal to a lot of people who are going to be very angry that he won. But then he's also got to try to balance these different elements of the Democratic Party that want different policies, people who want more progressive policies.
And then along with that split among the Democrats, you know, there are some students, particularly those at the progressive wing, who are not completely content with Biden.
One of the great things about Biden getting elected is that he's making a lot of promises to different communities. You know, we get to hold him accountable. We get to hold him accountable and say, you know, you said you were going to do all of these things. Now we want to see it come into fruition. We want to see it happen. Even though I am pushing and pushing and pushing for a Biden presidency, I know that at the end of the day, there's always more work to be done.
So we've talked a lot about what the future is going to hold for the country, but what's the future going to hold here at Emory? What are kind of the next steps students are taking to mobilize voters?
So Georgia is going to be the center of the next few months. You know, a lot of people thought this election was going to be over in November, and it's not. Both Senate races in Georgia are going to runoffs at this point in time. And so we're going to see those elections on January 5th. This will be a difficult race for the Democrats. Both of the Dems in this election, Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff, received less of the votes as compared to their Republican incumbent challengers. This registration is due by December 5th. If you're voting absentee, these ballots need to be received as soon as possible. So the early voting period will start on December 14th. We'll go for 3 weeks after that. And then the election, of course, will be on January 5th. Given that this entire early voting period will be during winter break for Emory students. So groups like Fair Fight, the Emory Democrats, and the NAACP will be mobilizing during this time, trying to get students registered, making sure that they're able to vote. The bottom line of these races is that all eyes will be on Georgia over the next few months.
We're going to be the focus of attention for the whole country. It's going to be here.
Listen and subscribe to Wheel Talk on Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I'll see you soon. Wheel Talk is produced by Kaylin Chin, Isaiah Poritz, Madison Bober, Gabriella Lewis, and Becca Mosca. Music by Kevin McLeod and cover art by Kaylin Chin.